No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Winnipeg Jets victorious tonight by a 1-0 margin. I turned the game off after the 2-minute and 56-second mark of the first period, Dave M. I assume that the Jets just won 1-0 after Scheifele opened the scoring.
Yeah, you didn't have to watch anything else, Drew. That was it. That was the
okay, good. Point. This will be a very quick post-game show in that case.
Just 10 minutes at most.
A sterling effort. No, of course, the Winnipeg Jets defeated tonight by a 7-1 margin at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche. The Jets were shorthanded tonight, and they were game for probably 20 minutes of the contest, but eventually the talent disparity, and that talent disparity might even exist if the Jets were at full strength, as the Colorado Avalanche certainly looked like the juggernaut people expected them to be before the season in tonight's contest, handing the Winnipeg Jets a 7-1 defeat, preventing the Jets from moving back into a playoff spot as they would have done had they been victorious in tonight's contest. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Manouk joins me as well. Ezra Ginsberg away from the program. He is in the protocol, not the COVID protocol. He actually has scurvy. He's got scurvy, unfortunately. We wish Ezzy well, and if anyone can send oranges and any other vitamin C-related medications to Ezzy's house, that'd be great. We wish him well, and hopefully he'll be back soon in time for Saturday's Illegal Curve hockey show. Dave, just a one-sided contest, particularly the final 40 minutes of tonight's game. What can you say aside from the names of three incredible hockey players, Landeskog, Rantanen, and McKinnon?
Well, there's not much to say. And you knew the Avs were going to be a huge challenge for Winnipeg, regardless of whether they were, as you said, Drew, healthy or not. Mm-hmm. There's no mistake. I mean, you can look at the standings and see the Avs, where they were, but the truth is their winning percentage put them as the top team in the Western Conference for a reason. You can see it, right? I mean, it's just up and down. They're relentless. They're skating. Their talent is evident on almost pretty much every line. And so you have to tip your cap to them first and foremost, because, like I said, there's a reason why they're on the streak that they were on, like 8-1-1 in their last 10. Hadn't lost. When was the last time they lost at home? Was quite a while ago. So I mean, it was going to be a difficult challenge for this Jets team, and we talked about it, right? Like, you knew that coming in, the road trip was going to be, quote, a success if you at least had two wins in your back pocket, and they did that coming into tonight's game. But and especially after that first period, you really didn't think that it was Colorado running away with it by any stretch. So
first period was good for the Jets.
Especially with the way the Jets came out, you thought to yourself, okay, Jets have some life. They've looked good so far. They've created something. And then Colorado obviously took over that second period. The shots, what did they outshoot them? 17-5 at least at one point. I don't know how it ended, but it was 17-5 at one point and outscored them the three times, right? So
18-7 was the shots on goal in the second period.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's part of the problem, right? You just don't have an answer. And one of the things that I've just never understood, and I'm not suggesting this would have been a difference in the game, but coaching staff seem so reticent to use the timeout. And sometimes you just think to yourself, and again, like I said, I don't suggest that this is somehow going to make a difference in this game, but sometimes you think, it allows you to hit the bit of a pause button when you feel the momentum swinging the way it was. But, Dave Lowry and company chose not to use it, and I mean, I would have maybe used it after the seventh goal. I would have just tried to be like, okay.
With 10 seconds to go, they needed to. Yeah. That's when they needed to. Actually, let's be honest, Dave. You said to me when the post game started, just before the post game show started, you said, when did they get the seventh goal? You turned it off after the sixth, because you had to get ready for the post game. I understand. They scored with 10 seconds to go.
Yeah, I did move upstairs to get ready for the post game. But I mean, it's just. An interesting situation, and the Jets obviously, and I'm sure we're going to get into this, came in here knowing that they lost Jansen Harkins and Dylan DeMello to the COVID protocols. They lost Paul Stastny. Paul Stastny was a game time decision. His isn't COVID related, but He was a game time decision. Obviously, CJ Cease drew in when Paul Stastny was unavailable. And Cole Perfetti also played his first game of the road trip, his third NHL game. So, you know, there were obviously some lineup changes for the Winnipeg Jets. But at the end of the day, they really were beaten by the better team. And I don't think too many people have said that the Colorado Avalanche aren't the, along with Vegas, are not the cream of the crop when it comes to the Western Conference.
You know, it'll be fun if we ever get to see a matchup between Vegas and Colorado at full strength. Because again, the Vegas team that the Jets beat on Sunday, last Sunday, was not a full strength Vegas team. I'm talking a Vegas team with Mark Stone and
a cap compliant Vegas team.
Well, you know what? They can figure that. They don't have to figure it out if somebody can stay on the IR until the playoffs. But Max Pacioretty, Jack Eichel, Mark Stone against this Colorado Avalanche team would certainly be an entertaining playoff series. That would be obviously a Western Conference final more than likely. That's neither here nor there and not the subject matter for this show at this point in time. You know, the Jets started off well. They got the opening goal, which you sort of knew was going to be critical in a game like this when you're shorthanded and you're not at full strength. And the Jets got it at the 2:56 mark of the first period. Mark Scheifele gets the goal. He jumps on a juicy rebound. It's a strong shot from the point by Neil Pionk. Obviously, Andrew Kopp got a tip on it. Big rebound over to Scheifele, who makes no mistake and wires it into the back of the net past Darcy Kemper. And the Jets start off well. They got the start they needed with that 1-0 lead in the first period. And I thought for the majority of the first period, they were certainly equal to the task, if not better than the Colorado Avalanche. That was as good of a first period, I think, as the Jets would have hoped in a game like tonight. Nazem Kadri tied it up at the 15-20 mark. Pardon me. Is that to say 16-20 or 15-20? I'm going to have to squint. The writing's too small. At the 16-20 mark, Nazem Kadri tied it up for the Avalanche, his 12th of the year. He's having a tremendous season. Assist to Eric Johnson and Andrei Burakovsky. Again, a strong point shot, and the Jets just weren't able to tie up Kadri in front. He got a stick on it and deflected it past Hellebuck. And it's 1-1 after 20 minutes. And the Jets, you know, you heard from Andrew Kopp in the intermission talking to Dennis, said, you know, it's a pretty good first period for us. You know, we wanted to improve on our gap a little bit, maybe have the gap be a little bit tighter. But all in all, the first period for the Jets tonight was by far their best period, because it was straight downhill after that 20 minutes of action, Dave.
Yeah, and we, like I said off the top, Drew, that's kind of the, you know, if you go into that intermission, you're feeling pretty good given the fact that how well Colorado has played and how, you know, you're feeling about your game having come in winners of three straight games, hoping to make it four. But, you know, the difference between that set, the first intermission and what happened in that second period is, you know, the Colorado Avalanche came out to play and the Jets just didn't have an answer. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. And, you know, you saw some line juggling. You saw Andrew Kopp join the second line with Scheifele and Ehlers at a certain point. And, you know, as Dave Lowry tried to make some tweaks to try and get some things going. But, you know, at the end of the day, they just didn't have the answer. They really didn't. And I'm not going to pretend like I somehow do. But the truth is that, you know, the Naismith getting beat in front of the net. And it was just little mental mistakes that the Jets made. They weren't as crisp, I think, as they needed to be.
Yeah.
And as a result, I mean, we saw an Avalanche team. I mean, I don't know what people are saying, like they're not that good. They're a pretty good team, guys. I don't know what you're watching.
They were the best. From my perspective, they're the best team I've seen this year.
When they're playing
with that amount of speed, I mean, you know, the Jets aren't a slow team. You know, Kyle Connor, Nikolai Ehlers, these guys aren't slow by any stretch of the imagination. The Avalanche are a step faster than they are, even more than a step sometimes. And they know how to play with that speed. And it's difficult if you're not used to playing at that breakneck pace to realize what you have to do. And I think the Jets on a number of the goals by the Avalanche, because a lot of them were rebound goals. You know, I think the Jets were just not used to, I think they thought that the Avalanche had it in hand, and then the Avalanche speed to get to the loose pucks was just a little bit better than the Jets speed to get to the loose pucks. And that is a function of just not really knowing how to A, maybe not being as fast, no question about that. And B, just not if you're half a step out of position and you're playing against a team who's got that much speed, before you know it, you think you're in a good spot, but before you know it, they have the loose puck and the puck is in the back of the net. That's the reality of playing a team of Colorado's talent and with their skill and with their speed and their skill, is they just have to, you just can't afford to be out of position in any which way. Otherwise you're going to get burnt.
Yeah. And there, it's something that I've said before this season with this Jets team, is that it's probably the only positive you can look at in a loss is that it wasn't on one person. It was a collective group loss. So, I mean, it's poor solace, I would imagine, for fans who sat through that and spent their evening watching that Jets game. But it wasn't as if you could sit there and say that was one guy's responsibility. I really think that was a collective loss. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck I saw one of the comments was his rebound control wasn't great, and the defense in front of him wasn't great. And the forwards, we can go through every single goal and we can pick it apart in terms of the mistakes that were made throughout the course of this game. And look, ultimately at the end of the day, if you make mistakes, I mean, there was laziness, by the sixth goal, the Jets didn't even care at that point. Like that was just, I understand the game's out of hand, but you kind of want to, you don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, this is an embarrassing loss. Yeah. I don't care how good Colorado is. You're still a pro team. And to lose, and losing Jansen Harkins and Paul Stastny and Dylan DeMello, that hurts, no doubt about it. I'm not diminishing it. But at the end of the day, you can't say that somehow that allowed Colorado to score seven goals on you.
Well, it's sort of interesting to your point there, because the Avalanche gave the Jets some opportunities in the third period to crawl back into it with some undisciplined penalties. I mean, you look at the opening minutes of that third period, and Nazem Kadri takes an interference penalty at the 1:18 mark. If the Jets are able to capitalize on that, all of a sudden, instead of it being a 7-1 game or instead of it being, a one-sided game, if the Jets are able to capitalize on that, it's 4-2 instead of it being 4-1. Then a couple minutes later, Obey Kubel takes a hooking penalty. If the Jets are able to capitalize on that. So the opportunities, particularly with the man advantage, were there for the Jets. Given the amount of penalties Colorado took in the third period, the Jets had what I would describe as some decent zone time on those power play opportunities, but it was all from the perimeter. And I think that was sort of just that's what Dave Lowry's been talking about since he became the head coach of this team, is it can't be from the perimeter. And you look at where Colorado got a lot of their goals tonight. Colorado's a team that's just dripping with skill. But you look at the goals that Landeskog and Rantanen and McKinnon all scored, they were not what I would describe as pretty goals. They were not highlight reel goals. They were goals where you went and you got a rebound and you had traffic in front of Hellebuyck and you were able to make it difficult on him, and then the puck was lying there and you jumped on it. Again, the Jets, I thought, especially on the power play, were too perimeter based in tonight's game, which is ironic because they had success on the power play in the last couple of games by going hard to the net, by having that net drive and gobbling up those loose pucks. Mm-hmm. Colorado did that. The Jets didn't do that. I'm not saying that's the only difference in the game, but I thought that sort of jumped out to me as just something to keep an eye on, where there were some positives in the Jets game in terms of their net front presence the last few games, but I thought tonight wasn't one of their better games in that regard.
No, I mean, how many times did he see that puck coming at him with nobody in front of the net, nobody to take away his eyes? And
Darcy Kuemper's a good goalie.
Yeah,
he's not, a very good goalie.
I mean, he hasn't won, 7 or 8 games in a row by accident. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just, maybe you win one or two in a row. It's, you generally don't win 8 in a row and say, well, that's just a fluke. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you have to credit credit the Avalanche for playing a very good game. And you need to, if you look at the Jets, you look at the areas that are of concern. And one of the things that they've talked about, and Rome wasn't built in a day, and this team doesn't get quote fixed, overnight, even if you have a win against, a Vegas team and against a Arizona team, mm-hmm. The St. Louis win also, obviously. But the truth is you have some time. You have a week I don't know what the schedule is like because it's not out yet. So we know that they're flying home tonight. Mm-hmm. And then they've got obviously a week of practice, and then they'll play in Detroit next Thursday.
Yeah.
So the Jets have some time to continue to, quote, work on things and figure some things out.
Health, hopefully.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, get back to health. You've got, Stasny, who's going to be obviously whatever he's dealing with, whatever minor situation he's dealing with. If he was a game time decision, he'll have a few days and probably off the ice to rest up and get healthy again before he resumes practicing. And then, the question mark is about
Harkins and DeMello. They can't travel back.
And Matt Prefontaine, the video coach.
Arvid Holm, on the taxi squad as well.
That's right. So they've got three players plus one coach who's currently, they're being the COVID protocols. Now, I didn't get a chance to read it because it was during the game, but I saw an article, I think it was on Sportsnet, about Jesse Puljujärvi's odyssey to get home after, I guess, he must have been diagnosed with or thrown into the COVID protocol. So I haven't had a chance to read that one and see. I know the rules in Canada are different, but
those like guys said, they won't be allowed, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I might be mistaken.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna speculate.
I'm pretty sure that they're not able to come back across the border until they get a number of negative tests.
I believe you're right, but I'm just saying. So in reality, they may be traveling to Andrew Kopp's home.
They might go to Detroit, yeah,
and then wait for the Jets to get there. So we'll have to wait and see, and we'll have to find out if anybody else, hopefully they don't, but I mean, the truth is, when you have three players and one coach test positive, you don't know if there's going to be another shoe drop in that regard. So, yeah. That will be something that's obviously worth monitoring, and we'll find out, either tomorrow, depending if they have a practice, or, Saturday for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Maybe we'll have a little update there, but, it's obviously going to be a factor, but look, this is an opportunity. I mean, you got your asses handed to you. Mm-hmm. You played a good first period. Last I checked, the whole cliche of you got to play a 60-minute, you can't play 20. I mean, fans don't pay for 20 minutes. They pay for the full hour. So teams have to play it, and the Jets didn't, and they tried, but they couldn't hang with the Colorado Avalanche. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and fix the things that they were lacking in this night, this evening.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a lot that they were lacking in. It was just a... You know, it was a one-sided result, obviously. You know, you can't put any lipstick on a pig when it's 7-1. It was one-sided, and the Jets were game, as we mentioned, off the start for the first 20 minutes. But after that, it was just it was men against boys, if you will. And and it's easier said than done. I mean, how do you shut down Landeskog, Rantanen, and McKinnon? I mean, that's a great question, and I'm sure every team in the league is trying to figure it out. But whatever strategy the Winnipeg Jets deployed tonight certainly was not effective. And you know that Jared Bednar was sitting there sort of licking his chops at the depleted Jets lineup and saying, okay, well, I get last change, so I have my pick of the litter when it comes to sending out my big guns against some of the Winnipeg Jets guys who are, frankly, used to playing, not against that kind of level of talent, or used to playing at the AHL level. No disrespect, intended there, but it was just, they just had no options. They had no answer for what they were throwing at him. I mean, McKinnon, a goal and four assists. Oh, that's 5 points. Gabriel Landeskog, three goals and an assist. Well, that's 4 points. So that's nine. And then you add in Rantanen's goal and a two assist. That's three. I mean, that's 12 points for that line altogether. And that's just, a clear sign that they were playing against talent that just could not match up to the skill set that they bring to the table on a night in, night out basis for the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, that Avalanche team is going to be very, very dangerous, and the Jets see him another three times for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and I just quickly perused. It looked like what they did with Puljujärvi is they medevaced him back from Seattle to Edmonton. So just him and two pilots aboard the plane, and that's how they were able to get him back and that sort of thing. Now, from the Jets' perspective, is it even worth it? Because, of course, you have these guys wanting to be in Detroit a week later. So we'll see what happens in that regard, and you'll have to stay tuned to find out more. LegalCurve.com will have that info for you.
There you go. We were going to say good evening to everybody. It is Thursday night, 11 o'clock. Nice to see so many familiar faces. Nice to see so many new faces joining us in the chat room and watching the show. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We do this each and every Winnipeg Jets game following the final whistle. The next one, of course, will be next Thursday, unless the schedule changes between now and then. But Saturday morning, we encourage you to join us back here for the Illegal Curve hockey show. 9 a.m. Myself, Dave M., Ezzy, hopefully out of scurvy protocol, will join us on Saturday morning as well. And our buddy Sean Reynolds, Rennie of Kenny and Rennie, is our first confirmed guest for Saturday morning's show. While you're here, smash the like button. We always appreciate that support. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast. That way you get alerted and will receive the show each and every time we go live here on YouTube. You know, Dave M., it was, I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois was feisty in that first period for the Winnipeg Jets. He obviously had that hit on Nazem Kadri that he was penalized for. It was a very bang-bang play. It probably was ultimately interference, but he was certainly noticeable for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, it's not like there was anybody that I would say, you know, played an especially poor game, to your point. You know, they were just, you know, all in all, I thought they were badly outclassed by the Colorado Avalanche. You can't pinpoint it on one guy. You know, I think back to, I don't remember which goal was for the Avalanche, but it's the one where Nate Schmidt wasn't able to really get to the rebound.
I think that was the third or fourth goal against.
Right. And then I think back to the loose puck that was sort of behind Darcy Kemper, and Eric Johnson was so strong on his stick. Mm-hmm. He prevented Andrew Kopp from being able to do anything. And that's almost, if you wanted to snapshot the game in one, you know, quick description, that sort of jumped to my mind, is that the Jets were just not quite strong enough to match up to what Colorado did. And Colorado was just a little stronger than the Winnipeg Jets, particularly when it came to the loose pucks, particularly when it came to the net front battles. And I think, you know, I don't think it's two steps back for the Winnipeg Jets, but I think it's another learning opportunity that Dave Lowry can use and say, look, this Colorado team is dripping with talent, but their goals were because of net front presence and mm-hmm. net drive and the willingness and need and desire and refusal to say no to getting to those loose pucks in front of in the quote unquote dirty areas. So I think there will be some takeaways from tonight's game that the Jets can lean on and build on and learn from moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, look, this game was a bit of, like, you had a big opportunity. If you could have somehow defeated the Colorado Avalanche or held on and gotten a single point, you're feeling really good about your game coming home from a 3-game road trip. And look, Detroit is no easy team. The Jets are only 2 points up on them, and Detroit's a good home team. I think they're 12-5-2 maybe. At Joe Louis Arena, but it's obviously Little Caesars Arena.
12-5-2, exactly.
Yeah. Right. So you've got a Detroit team that is no pushover at home, and and so it won't be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. But you really could have, you know, felt really good about your game because you had a chance to put yourself back into that kind of playoff conversation. Even NHL.com moved the Jets back into the Power 16, whatever the hell that means. So, you know, that's super relevant.
Does that guarantee you anything?
No, it doesn't. It probably guarantees that you're probably going to be out of it subsequently. But but anywho, so the truth is that I actually agree with you, Drew. I think, like, it's an opportunity for the team to say, listen, like, you know, that was a hell of a good team. And if we aspire to be in the same conversation as that team, then we have to play a different game.
Well, that's got to be the benchmark.
Well, of course, it's the benchmark. I mean, they've got a 700 winning percentage right now in the NHL. So they are, of course, the benchmark for anybody in the Western Conference. But, you know, this is a Jets team that's window. Again, I'm not one of these. It's where the window is this year and it's over. I don't believe that. But the window is now. We've talked about this. The window is this season, next season. And then you'll have kind of an influx of young players, realistically, that'll, you know, maybe take some time. So who knows what happens, but, you know, this Jets team right now is not at that same level as Colorado. And I'm sorry, like I said, I'm a Jansen Harkins guy. I'm a Dylan DeMello guy. I really think Paul Stastny is critical, actually, for this Jets team. I think he provides a huge element for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, I don't think what he does should be understated. But at the same time, and look, it was one game. You know, you're not going to define the Jets season based on one game. But there's definitely holes in the Jets, you know, game plan that they need to work on. Starts with the coaching staff. They have to watch the tape of this. You know, that maybe that's punishment enough, is having to watch this game more than once. At least fans and us, we only have to watch it one time. But the coaching staff and the players will have to watch it at least a couple more times to digest it and figure it out. Because you can't just say, you know, throw it away. You have to figure out. Like, I've never understood that saying, oh, just walk away from it. There's nothing to learn. There's always something to learn from your mistakes. And I think that's something the Jets have to draw on, is let's watch the mistakes we made and let's rectify it so we don't make those mistakes again in the future.
I would agree with you there. Here's a quote from Mark Scheifele post-game, courtesy of our friend Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Scheifele on losing 7-1 to the Avalanche, quote, "They are a good team. We didn't bring it. We weren't prepared, and it showed on the score sheet." So certainly some critical thoughts and critical comments from the Winnipeg Jets. I've seen number one center, but of course that's with an asterisk depending on how people feel about Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, it was good for Scheifele to get that opening goal, but he's right. You know, the team, you know, they needed to do more in the last 40 minutes, and clearly they didn't do it. And as you said, you don't just throw away the game tape. You try and learn something from this game tape, and it'll be interesting to see how the Jets can rebound. They now have a week, like you said, to let that sort of negative, you know, taste linger in their mouth. You know, by the time next Thursday comes along and they play Detroit, who knows what the roster is going to look like? Who knows what the lineup's going to look like? But it's, you know, the bizarre schedule that they're in the midst of continues. And now the Jets, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, have a week off between games. Very unusual. And this is coming off of a 2-week break between games. Along those lines, let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about that very interesting survey sent out by True North Sports and Entertainment, the parent company of the Winnipeg Jets, regarding the team, where they're going to play some games.
Fans could read that survey, Drew, on illegalcurve.com.
There you go. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to watch the commercials. You're at the same time, you're also going to check out illegalcurve.com on a second screen, like I assume everybody has. You have a phone probably in front of you. Maybe you have a laptop. Maybe you have a computer, a computer handy, a desktop if you want to go that way. Your TV is hooked up to the YouTube channel, whatever it might be. That way, you'll be able to read up on the survey True North sent out on illegalcurve.com. You'll be able to support our sponsors by watching their ads. And then when Dave and I come back, we're going to talk about what True North asked of their fans, our thoughts. We want to hear from you as well. Chat it out in the chat room, and we'll put some of the best comments on the screen. We also have to give away, of course, a toque from Tough Duck, so this might be a great opportunity.
-50 tomorrow, so probably someone's going to need it.
Yeah, so this might be a great opportunity for someone to have the hardest hitting comment and put it into the chat room. When we come back, much more. You're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game show. You're also watching us. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking, or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days, and you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The GridPark app?
Yep. Spelled GRYD Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the GridPark app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the GridPark app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
It's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two. This holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 11:15 in the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel and Dave Manuk with you. Ezzy off ill. Hopefully he'll be back up and running in time. Well, he won't be running. I mean, that would be crazy. I mean, he'll back up and waddling, I suppose, in time for Saturday morning show. You know, maybe lollygagging.
He's shots fired, but he's not
here. He himself would say he's not running. Although to his credit, he did, I think, once or maybe twice run the relay portion of the Manitoba Marathon. He did have to walk for a little while, though, if I recall correctly. But, that's still an effort. That's an important effort, and that was nice to see. Before we get talking about the survey that was sent out by True North,
sure.
Some breaking Winnipeg Blue Bombers news on the heels.
I thought you were going to say Winnipeg Jets news. I was like, God, I don't have this on the website. I'm too busy on the website today.
Nothing yet on no breaking Jets news, but on the heels of earlier today, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers re-signing Jamarcus Hardrick. The news coming out just moments ago, courtesy of Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have re-signed star defensive end Willie Jefferson to a contract extension. Jefferson, of course, the linchpin on that fantastic Bombers defense, the two-time winning, back-to-back winning Grey Cup champions. Willie Jefferson staying in Winnipeg. He was scheduled to hit the open market in a little over a month on February the 8th. Instead, he says the grass is not greener on the other side. The dollars are just as green in Winnipeg. Willie Jefferson going to remain as a member of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That news just coming down moments ago. Let's talk about that survey that was sent out earlier today by True North. I don't know if anyone can see that. It's on illegalcurve.com. I tried to see if I could share it in the second screen, but I'm not sure that's actually coming up legibly. So I'll try this and read it out to you again. The first two questions, Dave M., were basically pretty generic about provincial health orders and blah, blah, blah. And we don't want nothing to get into because, frankly, it's just not a conversation.
It's just about people's confidence.
Exactly. Would you like to attend games? How do you feel? How would you feel if there wasn't food and drink, blah, blah, blah.
By the way, I've got some breaking news back at you, Drew.
Oh, my.
And it's Jets related.
Oh, my.
The Jets are off tomorrow.
Oh, my. Well, hopefully you won't have to leave the show to update the website accordingly. So no practice for the Jets tomorrow. I'm not surprised. No. I figured it would be an off day for the Jets. So there's the confirmation. They'll next be on the ice, presumably on Saturday, when the Winnipeg, you know, during maybe even during the Illegal Curve hockey show, although my guess is more than likely it'll probably be a 12 noon practice on Saturday. So alas, illegalcurve.com will have to be your home for the latest practice news.
Check out that practice report
Saturday. There you go. Question three of the survey. And hold on.
Joe's got a zinger. Sorry, Drew.
Okay. Joe from Winnipeg. The Jets were off today too. LOL. You're right, Joe. I'm glad you laughed at your own jokes. That's something that's a very dad move, and I appreciate it that you're doing that. Question three in the survey, and this is the one that sort of got tongues a-wagging. Liquor Beaver is also making the same joke as well. So there you go. People, the great minds think alike in the chat room tonight. If current public health orders, i.e. the maximum 250-person capacity in Canada Life Center, remain in place, how would you feel if the Winnipeg Jets home games were played in another jurisdiction that does not have restrictions on fan attendance? That jurisdiction, as reported by Elliot Friedman, more than likely to be, potentially to be, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, because Saskatchewan currently has no COVID public health orders limitations, or I don't even know if they have any rules at all in Saskatchewan, COVID or non-COVID related. In any event, the True North asking their season ticket holders, how would they feel if Jets home games took place in a full arena in Saskatoon instead of a empty and or partially filled arena here in Winnipeg? Your thoughts, Dave M, about the question and about the survey. Do you think people have I've seen both sides, coming in some of the comments on Twitter and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Where do you think what were your thoughts when you saw the question being asked?
Well, look, at the end of the day, this is a business. And so the Jets aren't in the business. They've already lost, a lot of money last year. Although it's funny, because if you actually look at the league, I think they were, screaming how they made $5 billion over the course of all of the year. So that was the league itself, not the team, of course. So, but it is a business. And, it's one thing, like the Moose games, which I obviously covered over the weekend, were both not attended by fans. And so that was a little easier to handle from an AHL perspective than it is from an NHL perspective, because of the loss of revenue, right? That game Montreal didn't have fans, was against the Flyers. A few weeks back, that cost them $2 million, right?
Look at Edmonton and Toronto last night. There are no fans, at that game.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think part of the issue for these teams is that, like, you're paying the players and you're going to be paying, people to keep the arena going, and all of that, obviously, the cost will go significantly down. But the reality is you're losing a lot of money. And so you have to pay these players, and teams are reluctant to play without making any money off of it. So, it's a tough situation. I don't know that fans have a tremendous amount of confidence right now to go. Maybe they do. I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't really care. And I'm not going to get involved in some sort of COVID debate, because ultimately people can make their own decisions. It's not for me to tell people what to do. And I'm not going to sit here and tell one person, this is what you should do. People can do whatever they want. It's their own, we live in a free society, so you can make your own decisions as to whether you feel comfortable or not in terms of attending. But, I think a lot of people may not want to right now. And we saw that, a little bit in, with the, when there were no restrictions other than the requirement to be vaccinated, there were still, 1,500 empty seats. A lot of that is because, of course, of the economy, and the economy is not great, of course, right now. So, can they mitigate their situation by going to Saskatchewan and playing in whether it's Saskatoon? I would imagine it would be Saskatoon. Then sure. I don't really see, the only people who really might be impacted are us in the media, who won't be going to Canada Life and watching them play in an empty building. And the reality is it's preliminary and they're just trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, this is it's a small market franchise, and they need to create revenue. So I don't begrudge a business that looks to make revenue. As long as they make the season ticket holders and anyone who has tickets whole, and they don't try and, you know, keep their money and say, oh, well, we'll give you a credit for next year. I mean, if people want to do that, that's their prerogative. Yeah. But as long as they give people the season ticket holders or whomever has a ticket for whatever games that have been postponed, provided they make them whole. Because if they don't, then that's BS. That'd be BS. That'd be huge on the Jets. It'd be a terrible mistake on their part. And it would look awful for them to do something like that to keep people's money in this sort of economy. So provided they make season ticket holders whole, I don't really care where they play their hockey games.
Well, you know, it's interesting for my, I mean, I understand everything you said about it being a business, and I totally get that. And I mean, I understand that completely as a, you know, as a businessman or as a business, you can't, you know, go with, it would be hard to go without revenue when you can see that there could be revenue made just over here on a short-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
My comment would be that I think it is dangerous for True North to go down this path because of the lingering damage that it might do to their season ticket holders who have supported them for the past 10, 11 years, you know, unabashedly. I think if you feel as though you are being taken for granted,
mm-hmm.
and that certainly is something and is a complaint that people have leveled at True North, is that they don't have, that they take some of their season ticket holders for granted, that they don't have what I would describe as the most customer friendly approach, and the customer service is maybe not at the level where it needs to be. This would be another blow to people who feel as though they're not necessarily, why should we keep supporting you? Why should I continue to put my, you know, to put money in your pockets if this is the thanks that we get? That at the first sign of you continuing to not generate as much revenue as you normally would, you go somewhere else. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to be the feedback and the opinion that they receive, but this is, I think, part of the reputation that they have, that they probably would need to factor that into their decision making. Now, whether or not they even acknowledge that that's their reputation, that's a separate issue altogether. If you have blinders on to situate to what people think about you, then you probably don't have to worry about it. You only hear, you see no evil, you hear no evil. Well, then sure, you can keep doing whatever you want. Nobody's going to have a problem with it. I think it's just a very interesting approach. As far as I know, they're the first jurisdiction in Canada. I don't know why they, I guess, do they have a first right of refusal over Saskatoon because Saskatchewan is in the viewing area of the Winnipeg Jets? Like, why wouldn't the Edmonton Oilers potentially have the same, you know, rights or possibility to explore this avenue? I mean, these are hypothetical, theoretical questions that I don't know the answer to, but I do think it's a little bit of, you know, be careful what you wish for from the True North perspective, just by simply asking the question. I think it leaves a negative taste in a lot of people's mouths. I think a lot of people still remember the comments at the beginning of the pandemic, the tone deaf comments at the beginning of the pandemic of, well, they work when we work. I think a lot of people still remember that. And mm-hmm. that's been a difficult, not that True North has necessarily done anything to try and rectify that statement, aside from, you know, the bare minimum. But I do think that it's, it's something that they should be aware of, that people might take offense to. Now, I see in the chat, it's great back and forth in the chat, and everybody, as far as I can tell, is keeping it friendly and keeping it peaceful, which is nice to see. No need to get too upset with one another, that there's people who fall on both sides of the ledger. And I totally understand that. And I mean, I'm not certain which side I fall on. I mean, when I was saying that with my little soliloquy, is just sort of a perspective that I think they should be concerned of. And I don't know if I have that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a business and there was an empty arena that I could fill tomorrow, I mean, it's a very difficult needle to thread.
I think it's easily to explain to your season ticket holders.
But you know what the difference is? I don't think that True North has the je ne sais quoi in which to thread that needle properly. I think people, some people could understand it and would understand it. I don't know if it's the majority of season ticket holders or if it's a minority, but I just don't think that they have the necessary touch.
The cachet?
Not the cachet. This the necessary touch, or they haven't demonstrated that they have that necessary touch in which to have their cake, the cake being a full attendance in Saskatchewan, and eat it too, the eating it too, not being not pissing off anybody in Winnipeg.
Well, I will. I've
yet to see them demonstrate that proper gentle touch that's necessary.
Well, I know one lady in Winnipeg who had her cake and got a chance to eat it too, and I'm going to give her a shout out because she's very special to me. Happy birthday to my mom. She sent my mom, if you were a student at St. Jean Brébeuf, then you took French from Madame Minouk, and my mom celebrated her 70th birthday today. So going to give my mom a special shout out for her, you know, having to unfortunately have a COVID birthday on her, especially on a milestone, but pretty good day for her. She got to spend it with, see her kids and her grandchildren and in various ways, usually in a socially distanced way, unfortunately, but you know, and her parents are both still alive in their 90s, which is amazing. So my grandparents wished her happy birthday, her aunt, cousins from all over the place. So my mom was able to celebrate a big milestone birthday. So it was a good day for me. It was a busy day for me, but it was a pretty good day for me nonetheless.
Well, happy birthday to Dave's mom, Cheryl. 70th, my mom turning 70 as well next month.
So I've got ideas if you need them, Drew.
Send them my way, Dave.
I was blinging lawns. I was making videos. It was great.
There you go. You're a better son than I am. I think
that's true. I'm the number one son for a reason.
That's there's no doubt about it. Knowing your brother, yeah, your sister. I mean, you know, your sister's pretty high up there.
My mom's counter to that is usually that she's just going by chronological order. Excuse me, but
knowing your brother, he's probably not even the top five of your mom's power rankings, and she's only got three kids, so that tells you all you need to know about your brother. Want to give the tough duck hardest hitting comment that's going out to Grizza Smash. The comment up on the screen from a few minutes ago. He says, or I guess it says, I'm not sure if Hulk has a gender. I guess
Hulk's angry.
Yeah, well, Hulk's angry in any event. I totally understand, though, that the season ticket holders should be upset about the decision. That's a lot of money to throw down only to have it moved out of province. Grizzly Smash, the hardest hitting comment in tonight's post-game show, courtesy of Tough Duck. So Grizzly Smash, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, and our friends at Tough Duck will send you out a toque. If you prefer to do it via Twitter, @ICDrew, you can send me a DM and send me a message, whatever it might be, and we'll get you that toque, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Very interesting. We'll be lots of interesting things going on with regard to the Winnipeg Jets. It was not a good night tonight on the scoreboard, though. Falling 7-1 in Colorado, the Jets did. A one-sided score dominated by the line of Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen combining for, I believe what I said, 12 points, if I'm not mistaken. So a terrific line for the Avalanche superstars and not a great night at all for the Winnipeg Jets. Final thoughts to you, Mr. Minouk. I don't think there's a Minouk Moose Minute. Do you have any Moose news you want to climb up on?
I do, actually.
Okay, here we go.
Because I was looking at the long list for Team Canada.
Yes.
And forget about Cole Perfetti, because as far as I can tell, he's not eligible to go, although I don't know why people are reporting that he is eligible to go.
Yeah, that was a little awkward in the intermission tonight.
It made no sense. I was like, why are we having this conversation? Because he's not eligible to go.
Yeah.
But you know who is? Moose captain Jimmy Olney, who apparently is on I'm not reporting this. I just saw it on Twitter. But Scott Wheeler, who seems to have some sort of insight into what's going on with Team Canada, I think he works for The Athletic. He was reporting that Jimmy Olney was on that long list. So it's a small Minouk Moose Minute. Jimmy Olney's name was bandied about apparently on the long list. So there you go.
He's only under an AHL contract.
He's under an AHL deal with the Moose.
And that's your reason. If you're under an NHL contract,
yeah,
you're not able. Nathan Smith, Winnipeg Jets draft pick is on long list for Team USA.
Correct.
Frank Saravelli and Chris Peters reporting that earlier today.
Yeah, he's so been phenomenal. The 2018 third rounder for the Winnipeg Jets. He's tied for second in NCAA scoring. So he's a prospect. I mean, Tampa, it's just a weird, he's a good story. Like Tampa, I think we interviewed him when he was drafted, if I recall correctly.
I'm sure.
And then I'm pretty sure we did. And then, from Tampa Bay, played, I think he may have grown up or he moved to Minnesota early in his life to play hockey. Started out in roller hockey. And the Jets don't have a ton of like forward prospects. Mm-hmm. A lot of the prospects we focus on, especially with the Moose, are defensemen. So Nathan Smith's a guy a lot of people have their eyes on. He's in his third season of college, and he could be playing. He could be wearing his country's jersey on his back if he goes. It has the chance to go to Beijing. So the Moose are traveling tomorrow. They're going to be going to Texas. They're playing 5 games on the road. So, and actually I got a notification today, speaking of the Moose. So you've kind of stumbled into a Manuk Moose minute here, Drew, that I've got another 8 because we were supposed to have, see Kenny's water balls into it. We were supposed to have, I think 4 tickets or 8 tickets to give away for a couple of games that were postponed, the Abbotsford game and the Iowa game. So we'll have those tickets to add to another, series. We've got pretty much tickets for every remaining Moose series to give
fingers
away.
Fingers crossed there's fans in the building.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, and I said this on the show, so I won't go too much into it, but like covering games again without fans sucks. It's boring, especially Moose fans. Like they're mostly kids and they're screaming for blood and they're having a great time. The atmosphere is awesome always. So it really is unfortunate when you don't have them there, but hopefully we will have fans back so I can give away tickets here on the Elite Curve post-game show or the Legal Curve hockey show. But we will have that back very soon. Gonna have to, the only good thing about the pause is in that regard, we're going to have to figure out some sort of contest because just sending me an email if you want to go, it's fine, but it's not really that exciting. So we got to figure out some way. So
you want a little
a bit better of a way, if you will.
You want a little bit of a song and dance involved in the whole
thing. Yeah, maybe a little contest.
Sure.
Okay. Some way I can play fancy music.
So there you go. Something you can wrap your brain around in the next little bit. How about that?
I'll give it a whirl.
Alrighty, that's very good.
Now that I'm done planning my mom's birthday, I can focus on other things.
We want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and of course, our friends at Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey, of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, of IllegalCurve.com, and of the Illegal Curve Post Game Show, which of course, you've been watching this evening. We'll be back at it Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Myself and Dave and hopefully Ezzy will be with you for 2 hours of hockey talk on Saturday morning, of course focused on your Winnipeg Jets. The Jets next in action next Thursday, unless the schedule changes, against the Detroit Red Wings. We'll have an Illegal Curve post-game show right around, I think, 9:15 p.m. Central Time next Thursday after the Jets and the Red Wings. Of course, IllegalCurve.com has all your latest Winnipeg Jets news, audio, post-game analysis, post-game interviews, everything available on IllegalCurve.com. Keeps Dave M busy, which is, of course, important for all of us. If you want to keep the post-game show chatter going, head over to Kenny and Rennie. Dave, I believe, have started up over on their YouTube channel. And if you're done for the night, that's okay also. We'll see you on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Until then, for Dave Manuk, for the ailing Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9, we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. And yes, happy Ukrainian Christmas, everyone. Smash the like button and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.